showcase all the great talent, hockey players in California. The other thing is to provide information to educate hockey families and hockey players. So our first guest today is Jeff McGuire from Hockey Inc., and I'll let him get right at it. So Jeff, thanks very much for coming. Take it away.
As Will said, I'm from College Hockey Inc. College Hockey Inc. is a new group that was formed. We are a not-for-profit, funded by USA Hockey on a grant from the NHL. So what it is essentially is developmental money, the developmental fee the colleges get for producing world-class hockey players that go on to play in the NHL. I am the director of education and recruitment. So one of the things that I do is what you're seeing me do right now is I come out here and I talk to you guys about the college hockey game, college lifestyle, and is everything that we believe makes the college experience wonderful. My two colleagues are Paul Kelly, who's the former director of the National Hockey League Players Association. We're fortunate enough to grab him. And then the other fellow we work with is Kevin Lovett. He played hockey at Brown University. He's our business operations. Also worked at the NHLPA with Paul prior to them taking on this position. Just a little bit about myself before I get started, just so you guys don't think I'm a talking head that's up here. I grew up playing hockey in Connecticut. Went to Yale University. My senior year in high school, I was drafted by the Atlanta Thrashers and then signed with them following my senior year in college. Unfortunately, I didn't make it up to the big times, but I banged around the minors in North America as well as Europe for 5 years. And from there, I went on to coach in the East Coast Hockey League, the Utah Grizzlies. And most recently, I coached in the United States Hockey League, Cedar Rapids Rough Riders. So I've been on both sides of the bench in most leagues, except for the NHL. So I feel like I've got a pretty good perspective on everything there is in this game. So let's get started here. College Hockey Inc., our mission is to promote and raise the profile of Division I college hockey. There are 58 Division I teams, and our job is to be their voice. We go out and talk to you guys and tell you about that, as well as trying to garner up some new attention through TV, through advertisement, some of the things we'll talk about later in this presentation, such as the Frozen Four, the Icebreaker Tournament that's taking place in St. Louis this year. We're really just trying to raise the profile of college hockey. Another one of our missions is something that should interest you guys out west here, is that we're trying to identify those schools that have a firm foundation in the game of hockey and that are interested in making the jump to Division I. So we're talking about the USCs, the UCLAs, the Stanfords. Now, I don't foresee that happening in the next year or two, but that's something we'd like to see down the line, given the talent that's out here in California. I've gone record as saying that if one of these schools was to make a Division I jump, it would be very similar to the University of Minnesota, where they keep their homegrown talent. If those schools were able to keep their homegrown California talent, it's, in my opinion, they'd be contending for a national championship in about 5 years. Cats out of the bag, everybody knows that they're tremendous hockey players being developed in California, which is the reason why these coaches are here, myself is here, to be recognized the product that's being churned out on a daily basis. Our message is that NCAA hockey prepares a player for life. It gives you a foundation with which to build a good life on while developing you to play in the National Hockey League, if that's your goal, or to play, a few years in the minor leagues or go over and play in Europe. What it is we believe that by going to school and getting that foundation, you're opening up doors, giving yourself an opportunity to do whatever it is in life, as well as preparing yourself for the National Hockey League. Our message is to use hockey to improve your life. Use hockey, don't allow it to use you. You guys are given a gift. You're all very talented hockey players. Take that gift, take that talent, and allow it to open up doors for you to a better life. For those of you that can't see in the back, I'll just name the players that are on our slides here. This is a picture of Tyler Bozak. He played at the University of Denver for 2 years, I believe, and then signed a free agent contract with Toronto Maple Leafs and has since gone on to do very well in the NHL. He's just one example of the guys that developed a little slower, used their college career to springboard them into a successful NHL career. I'm going to do my best not to throw too many stats at you, be a little bit daunting, but we will talk about how difficult it is to get to the NHL, because that's kind of the underlying theme here, is that very few people actually make it all the way to the top. And with that being said, that's why we believe that education is very important. Less than 5% of the guys that play at the elite level prior to playing professional hockey actually make it. So we're talking about the Canadian Hockey League and Division I hockey. If you take all those players and you throw them in a bucket, you got about 2,500 players. Of those 2,500 players, less than 5% will play even one game in the NHL. Less than that will even go on to have what you consider a successful career, where they make enough money where maybe they don't have to get a job afterwards. But that's even fewer and far between. With that being said, we believe that education should never take a back seat to athletics. This picture here, most of the kids don't know who it is, but the parents usually get a chuckle out of it. It's John Belushi for you young guys that don't know. But the decision that you make, the reason why we're out here is because you guys, specifically out here on the West Coast, you're in Western Hockey League territory. And allow me to preface this by saying that I'm not here to bash the Canadian Hockey League. You know, the Western Hockey League is a tremendous league. They develop great hockey players, and a lot of those guys go on to success in the NHL. But what they have since done is they've gone to the banner draft. So they draft you guys at the age of 14, even though you can't play until you're 16, and they're asking you to sign these contracts at the age of 14. If you sign that contract, you then render yourself ineligible for the NCAA or receive a scholarship to play at one of the tremendous institutions that we represent. So we're here to let you know that the decision that you make in the next few years can have a lasting consequence, and we're just asking you to be patient and think about the decision that you're making. We ask you to make an informed decision, and that's why we're here. As I said, NCAA Division I hockey isn't for everybody. It's very difficult, it's very time consuming, and you know, really, in reality, there's only 58 schools, and most of those schools give 18 scholarships. They fill up about 25 to 26 guys on each roster, so it's not for everybody. At the same time, Canadian Major Junior is a path for some guys. Maybe you're not academically inclined, maybe that's just a path you want to take, maybe you don't feel like you want to go to school. Well, Major Junior is there. We're just here to make sure that you understand the difference between the two options. NCAA colleges are first and foremost in the business of education. All right, so you can't go there and think that you're just going to walk in, they're going to assign you four classes, and away you go. All right, you have to realize that you are a student athlete. The student comes first. All right, they offer tremendous programs, a wide variety of things, whether it's photography, English, history, doctor, lawyer. You can choose these things. With that being said, the hockey aspect of it will be a very large commitment. All right, I think most, from my experience, you usually get to the rink about 2 and you're there till about 6. And you've got to figure out how to get your schoolwork in at the same time. So it's a huge commitment, but the academics comes first. And these are the best years of your life. While we do this, while I give this talk, while I'm out talking to young kids and their parents, what is lost and what is forgotten is just how much fun the college experience is. The hockey is just one part of going to college. College itself, for you parents out there that were fortunate to go, is, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, it is the most fun 4 years of your life. You're surrounded by 12,000 to 13,000 of your peers, relatively unsupervised, and you get to have a good time and grow up. Right? Well, something we like to tell the guys too is that women outnumber men on campuses, so if that's something that interests you. But at the same time, again, it's just to get back to how much fun the college experience is, how it really is a chance for you to grow and mature amongst your peers, people your own age, for 4 years. Some of the schools that we represent are not only tremendous hockey schools, but they are great institutions in their own right. We've got the Harvards, the Yales, the Cornells, University of Denver, and then you've got Michigan, BU, Holy Cross. All 58 of the schools that play Division I hockey are first-class schools. You get a first-class education, not to mention that the universities are beautiful, their campuses. You can be given an athletic scholarship to play college hockey. The way it works is most schools outside of the Atlantic Conference and the Ivy Leagues cannot give scholarships, but every other school gets 18 scholarships to allot to their roster. Now, the way it works is, and I'll have the coaches speak to this a little bit more specifically later, is that they might give 12 or 13 full scholarship, and then they might chop up the other five, some guy 8%, one guy 40%. They try and help each player on the roster as much as possible to make sure that finances is not what's gonna stop them from getting a college education. The coaches at these schools are some of the best in the world. I mean, these guys, for those of you who can't see, we've got a picture of Jack Parker in the bottom left-hand corner there. I think he's been at BU for 37 to 38 years. We've got Coach Eves in the bottom right there, Coach Jackson, Coach Wozdecki. I mean, these guys are guys that are committed to this game. They've dedicated their entire life to this game. And they want to see you do well in the ice rink, but more importantly, they want to see you grow up as young men. They want to see you be successful in life. These are guys that they're going to be with you for 4 years. They make a commitment to you. You make a commitment to them. They have an interest in how you turn out, not only on the ice, but as you continue to grow as a man. For those of you that haven't had a chance to go see a college hockey game, the arenas that they're played in are second to none. You know, Ralph Engelstad down there in the bottom left-hand corner where the University of North Dakota plays is one of the most spectacular arenas you've ever seen. It was built, actually I was fortunate enough to play there my senior year. I think it was built in 2003 or 2004. Yost Arena where Michigan plays, if you have a chance to go see a game there, watch them play Michigan State, it's an atmosphere that can't be described. Inside these rinks are also the training facilities, the weight rooms, the skating treadmills some of them have, the underwater treadmills, I mean everything, you name it, they've got it. These colleges spare no cost when it comes to what they have for their players to develop as hockey players. Every year college hockey has a few special events. The Bean Pot is something that really has kind of lost interest to anybody outside of the Boston area, but it pits the four big universities in Boston against each other at the TD Garden where the Boston Bruins play. That would be Harvard, BU, BC, Northeastern play. They've been doing it for 50-something years. Frozen Fenway this year saw BC play BU at Fenway Park in front of 40,000 people, and then Camp Randall saw Wisconsin play Michigan in front of, I think it was 60,000 or 50,000, something like that. And then this year we've got the Big Chill at the Big House, which has already sold 100,000 tickets to be played, where the University of Michigan plays their football games. They will have 110,000 people at that game. They just want to set some tickets aside. It will be the most watched hockey game by the time it comes and goes. Frozen Four takes place every year. This year was in Detroit. They played in Ford Field in front of 40,000 people. It was a pretty extraordinary setup. The atmosphere outside the arena was tremendous too. It's really, I urge you, if you can get to the Frozen Four next year, I believe it's in St. Paul, I urge you to get out there and try it. It's a great weekend, a lot of festivities. It really is just a celebration of the college game. And then another good idea is this year, the Icebreaker Tournament. It's the first game of the season. This year we have BU, Holy Cross, Notre Dame, Wisconsin coming down to St. Louis. And you can watch two college hockey games on Friday night. St. Louis Blues play on Saturday. And then you can watch two more college hockey games on Sunday. So it's really going to be an exciting hockey, very hockey-driven festive weekend. If I understand the travel can be somewhat difficult to get to these games, that's a great opportunity to see four college games and an NHL game and really try and see the whole experience of what college hockey is about. Just a few things about the college game is that college teams play about 40, 45 games a year depending on how far you make it in the playoffs. The Ivy Leagues, due to their rules, are limited a bit. They play about 30 to 35 games. You contrast that to Major Junior where they play about 60, 68, 70 games plus their playoffs. So it really is a shorter schedule that is more geared towards Friday, Saturday, the occasional Sunday, the occasional Thursday. This is because first and foremost, we are students, so you have to go to school. You can't be missing school on Tuesday and on Wednesday to play hockey. So their games are played on the weekends. We feel that this schedule is beneficial to the player's growth. A, if you only play 40 games, you can't afford to take a night off. All 40 games are very competitive. You're playing Friday, you're playing Saturday, then you've got to sit around all week and you've got to think about what you did on Friday, Saturday. There's only so many opportunities to show what you have. With that being said, because you only play Friday, Saturday, Sunday, there's a lot of time to be spent in the weight room, to be spent on the track, to be spent developing as an athlete. A lot of guys come in at the age of 18 and they might weigh 170, 180 pounds, and they come out when they're 22 and they weigh 205 pounds and they're just machines. It's a tremendous chance for you to develop. A lot of guys who are drafted in the NHL, they draft them and then they send them to college for 4 years because they know they have 4 years to develop under the eyes trained strength and conditioning coach with tons of time to spend in the weight room. It also allows you to develop your skill. If you look in the NHL today, most of the NHL players that are very skilled are Europeans, and that's not because they were playing 70, 80 games a year, because they're playing 40, 45 games and developing their skill and practice. You've got Alex Ovechkin, Pavel Datsyuk, Nick Lidstrom, Marian Hossa. These are skilled Europeans that had a lot more practice than they did game time as they were growing up, and we feel the college experience does the exact same thing. We also feel it's a greater on-ice challenge simply because you're playing against men. When you go to college, you're playing against 19, 20, all the way up to 24-year-olds. The game is bigger, faster, stronger. It forces you to up your level to compete. Major juniors, just to contrast it a little, there's guys that play at the age of 16 to 20. So you can see the difference in age. The difference between an 18-year-old or a 17-year-old and a 22-year-old isn't just 4 years. It's really about 10 years when it comes to maturity. All right, and we feel that benefits the college game. the game environment, as I talked about before, it's unparalleled. It's like nothing you've ever experienced. I've been fortunate enough to play in, when I was playing for the Chicago Wolves in the American League, we played the Philadelphia Phantoms in the AHL Finals in Wachovia Center in front of 17,000 people, and that was exciting. But I still think the greatest place I've ever played a game is Lion Arena in Cornell, where there's 2,500 screaming fans, and the band is just going berserk, and they're throwing newspapers on the ice, and it's just really, it's an atmosphere that I can't describe, and that's why I urge you guys to get there. But a coach in the college ranks once described it to me best. He goes, well, the kids out in California, they know college football, they know college basketball. And you guys see, like, you know, game day, people have their face painted and they're going nuts on the TV for the football games. We have that in college hockey. It's just not as advertised. It's just not on the TV as much. But I promise you, if you go to a college game, that is what the experience is going to be like. And if you want to be on TV, that's something we're working on as well. The NHL and Versus are both in discussion with us right now to try and get appointment viewing. We're trying to get one game a week, whether it be Sunday or Thursday. It'll be like 3 o'clock in the afternoon. We'll get two great teams to play against each other every weekend. We're trying to do that here and make sure to broadcast in Canada. We feel that you guys aren't exposed enough to the college game, unfortunately. That's why we're here. We're trying to get you guys pumped up about college, trying to let you know a thing or two about it. And it's a chance to become part of a tradition and a history. These teams have been around for a long time. You know, when you graduate from school, it's not just, you don't just graduate with four or five or six classmates. You graduate and you're friends with everybody that went there before you. When you're looking for a job after college, you don't just go back to the guys that were in your class, you go back to the guys who graduated in 1980. There's a tremendous alumni network that's there to help each and every one of the guys that goes through. I can tell you that when my playing career was over, the first people I turned to was the guys that graduated prior to me at Yale. I went back to them and I said, hey, can you guys help me out? They got me interviews, they got me jobs. It's just a great chance to meet people that are going to be your friends and they're going to help you out for the rest of your life. Excuse me, here we go. This is just a picture of Boston College. They beat Wisconsin this year in the finals to win the championship at Ford Field in front of 40,000 people. Now, we talk about a lot of you guys, I would imagine, aspire to play in the NHL. And one thing that's kind of thrown at the college quite a bit is that, well, you're not going to develop in college. If you're going to play in the NHL, you've got to go play somewhere else. Well, we're here to tell you that's not true. NHL scouts attend every game. General managers attend a lot of games. The college game is viewed worldwide. Everybody comes. There's always people in the crowd because they know it's a great place to develop. They know it's a place where a guy who maybe is a little bit of what they call a late bloomer, you know, maybe he wasn't ready to be drafted at the age of 18 or 19, but now at the age of 22, he's really come into his own, he's developed. They come and they're consistently signing those guys out of the college ranks. All right, I think this year alone, there's been something upwards around 50 guys that were drafted free agents out of college following the year. NHL scouts pay attention to the college game. Central scouting list that comes out every year, they rank 210 guys for 7 rounds, 13 rounds, so that makes 210. This year, 80 of the guys that are on that list are in college or are committed to go to college. Just an example here of two freshmen that played college hockey this year, Riley Sheehan and Danny Viega. They're both ready to go in the first round of the NHL draft next week. And then here's just a couple examples of a few guys that will be entering college next year that are also rated to go somewhere in the first round or high second round. You've got Nick Bjugstad, who's going to Minnesota, Derek Forbar, James Schwartz, John Merrill. And there's pages of those. We can go on. Those are just a few examples. And then here's a few examples of guys that played college hockey this year that were drafted in the first round, and some of them have since gone on to sign their pro contracts and left college. And again, we could have pages of these. This is something that is very important. For those of you that can't read it in the back, I'll read it for you. We talk about college hockey truly is the best of both worlds in terms of hockey and education. And a stat in the bottom right-hand corner here is that 84% of NCAA college players obtain a college degree. Only 16% of major junior players go and get their degree. Okay, so now I'm not here to bash major junior. I'm just here to point out that college hockey is very driven towards academics. We go, we want our players to get their degree. The frightening stat is that if you take those 60% of major junior players that get a degree, and you add it on to 5% or 4% that play in the NHL, we get 20%. That leaves 80% of the guys that play major junior hockey are not in the NHL, and they don't get a college degree. All right, that's a little frightening. You need a college degree in today's world to get a good job, folks. Again, this is just a stat that shows you that based on your education, the amount of money you can expect to make in life. Over the past 10 years, approximately 40% of the players taking the NHL draft played college hockey. And here's just a few more examples. You got Chris Drury, Zach Parise. Two guys that went on, had great college careers, and are now stars, played for the Olympic team actually this past year that got a silver medal. So if you break all these numbers down, it averages out about seven to eight guys on every NHL roster that played college hockey. That's just a picture of Louis LeBlanc, who plays at Harvard. He was drafted in the first round by Montreal. James Van Riemsdyk was drafted second overall to Philly out of the University of New Hampshire. 17 of the 23 guys that played for the United States Olympic team this year that got a silver medal played college hockey. That number would have been 18, but Mike Pomacera got hurt and played at the University of Michigan. And then the Directorate Awards that were given out this year at the Olympics, the Directorate Awards are voted on and they're given out to the best forward, the best defenseman, and the best goalie. The best forward was Jonathan Toews, who went to the University of North Dakota. The best goalie was Ryan Miller, who went to Michigan State. And the best defenseman was Brian Falski, who spent 4 years at the University of Wisconsin. What does all this mean? It means that these guys develop at different times. College hockey allows you to develop at your own rate. If you're ready in 1 year, they'll throw you out the door and say, hey, we'll play in the NHL. If it takes you 2 years, if it takes you 3 years, if it takes you 4 years, that's your choice. You have 4 years from when you're drafted. In some cases, now it's 5 years if you're drafted to junior high school. They don't have to sign you for 5 years. They can allow you to develop for 5 years, and that is a tremendous thing. It gives you time to get bigger, faster, stronger, more mature, maybe think the game a little better. The college game allows you to develop at your own time. So just a couple examples here. Eric Johnson plays for the St. Louis Blues, now spent 1 year at the University of Minnesota. Ryan Miller, it says 4 years, but I think he only spent 3 years at Michigan State. And then Brian Falski, again, 4 years at the University of Wisconsin. And then 13 members of our gold-winning World Junior team played college hockey this year. And this is just a page of all the guys that have played college hockey and then gone on to have success in the NHL. And we could, again, that page could be a lot larger. It's just due to time constraints. Jonathan Toews is actually kind of our, our poster boy, if you will. He was, he was drafted very high in the Western Hockey League. He decided that he wanted to go play college hockey at the University of North Dakota for 2 years. He has since gone on to have one of the more impressive personal years, I think. He got the Director Award for Best Forward at the Olympics. He got the Conn Smythe Award for the playoff MVP this year in the NHL. He's the captain of the team that won the Stanley Cup ball at the age of 22. That's pretty impressive. If you go to our website, he's on there, and he talks about how his experience in college at the University of North Dakota allowed him to develop, how allowed him to mature, and has thus allowed him to go on to the success that he's had recently. Excuse me. And then here's just a list of the college players that played in the Stanley Cup this past week. The NHL ranks of GMs, coaches are also littered with guys that played college hockey. And I won't read all of them, but Brian Burke, the entire Toronto Maple Leaf staff, we're talking about Dave Poulin. Those are guys that developed college hockey. Brian Burke went to Providence. Lou Lamoriello there was his coach at Providence, I believe. And then Dave Poulin was the coach who played at the University of Notre Dame. So, upon completion of your NHL career or your college career, if you're sitting in the front office, that's also a path that is taken by a lot of guys in front offices. And then a lot of guys that played in the NHL are now sending their sons to play in the NHL, to play college hockey as well. You got Eric Nystrom, Paul Stastny, Dean Chelios, Zach Parise. These are all guys whose fathers played in the NHL. Some played major junior, and they then decided that college hockey was the best route for them. And that's because they know that at any time, we don't like to say it in our sport, but you can get injured and it can all end. If that happens, you need something to fall back on, right? And even if you do make it to the NHL, you have a great career, it might last 10, 12 years. Now that you're 32 years old, you're 34 years old, you need something else to do in life. You can't just walk into somebody and say, hey, I played in the NHL. That's great, but that doesn't necessarily mean that those skills are gonna give you a job, on Wall Street or anything like that. You need a foundation. You need to go to school. There are only 9 players that played in the NHL under the age of 20 this year. So, if you're fortunate enough to be the Sidney Crosbys or Patrick Kanes, there's a number of them just in my mind right now that play under the age of 20, that's great. The average rookie is 22.7. So if you go to college at the age of 18, you go your 4 years, you're out at 22, you know, who knows, you might spend 1 year in the American League as opposed to spending 5 years in junior and then 2 years in the American League and then getting your shot at the NHL. Why not go to college, get a degree, spend 4 years having a lot of fun playing some hockey as well as developing your skills, and then step out at the age of 22 and be ready to step into the NHL. Now here's just a few things that I want to tell you about major junior, and this is in no way disparaging, this is just to let you know what happens if you do sign a contract in major junior. The NCAA views major junior as professional league, not because their players get small stipends or get $50, $60 a week. That's not why. It's because there are NHL, there are guys that sign NHL contracts and are then sent back to their junior teams. In the eyes of the NCAA, that renders that team professional, or that player professional, unless that team professional, unless the entire league is professional. So if you sign a contract, if you get drafted by the Western League, for those of you 95 who were drafted this year, if you get drafted by the Western League and then sign a contract, you shut the door on the NCAA, that renders you ineligible. They consider you a pro athlete. Even though you can't play for two more years, you can't sign that contract. If you go play an exhibition game or a scrimmage with a major junior team, they consider you playing for a professional team, you can no longer get a scholarship and be eligible for the NCAA. All this renders you ineligible. Right. And if you sign any type of agreement in any way, whether it's with an agent, CHL team, again, so we can't sign contracts. For those of you that do get drafted and you decide to go to the, whether it's a rookie camp or an orientation camp or their main camp in the fall, the NCAA allows you to do so, but you're only allowed to go for 48 hours. In those 48 hours, if you decide to do it, you decide to let them, they are allowed to pay for your expenses 48 hours between travel. They're allowed to pay for your hotel, they're allowed to pay for meals, they're allowed to pay for the ice, tape, your equipment while you're there. You have 48 hours, and when that 48 hours is up, you need to leave in order to get your return trip home. If you decide you're going to stay longer than 48 hours, you have to pay for everything from that point on out of your own pocket. And while there, you may not participate in any scrimmages against other teams. If they decide to have like a blue-white game and split you up into two teams, you can do that, but if you're in Spokane and Lethbridge comes in and plays, even though it's just a scrimmage, you can't do that. All right? They consider that you represent a professional team and would render you ineligible in the eyes of the NCAA. And there's just a few things that, you know, we tell you this because we want you to keep all your options open and be informed. So if you got questions for me or if you got questions for somebody in the CHL, what we tell you is ask the tough questions. So when they come to you with this education package, there's a few things you should know about. Read the fine print. They do give you 1 year of schooling for every year you spend on their team. Okay? But if they were to cut you at the end of 1 year, they're not responsible for the next 3 years of your schooling. Right? If they trade you, it then goes on to that next team and they're responsible for it. With that being said, at the completion of your junior career, if you decide that you want to try and play professional hockey, if you sign an NHL contract, an American League contract, or a European contract, your education package is null and void. They no longer have to pay for you to go to school. Okay? If you decide that you're going to try and play in the East Coast Hockey League or the Central Hockey League or the United Hockey League or any number of those other minor league hockey leagues that are out there, you're only allowed 18 months to play in those leagues, and then you have to go with your education. So if you decide to play 2 years in the East Coast Hockey League and you don't go and kick in on your education package, it's gone. You have 18 months to exercise your right to that education package, otherwise it's gone. And I'm not telling you this to be negative, I'm just telling you so you know. These are things you need to know, you need to be informed as you make these decisions. A couple more differences here is that the NCAA every year awards about $30 million in hockey scholarships. Okay, you compare that to the $4 million that's spent in the Canadian Hockey League on their scholarships, you can see the difference in the education, the fact college hockey truly is driven towards giving you guys an education. With that being said, less than 18% of the guys that ever play major junior ever go back to even get their education, whether it's because they just are out of school for 2-3 years and they decide they don't want to go back, or it's that, you know, they've allowed the 18 months to lapse and thus they can't go back and get their education, or they sign a contract. In major junior, there's trades. College hockey, like I talked about earlier, they've got you for 4 years. Coaches want to see you grow as men, they want to see you grow as players, they're interested in your development, they're interested in churning out truly good member of society. And I'm not saying that the major juniors aren't. I'm just saying that you can be traded major junior, and that's something to think about, because every time you're traded, there's a lack of continuity in schooling, friends, billets. You might come to the rink on Monday, and then Tuesday you're going to another rink halfway across Canada. A couple things about college recruiting that you should know. A question that we get quite a bit is somebody will say, hey, you know, I sent Coach Wozdeck at the University of Denver, I sent him an email, and he never returned my email. What's going on? He must not be interested in me. Well, what you should know is that the college coaches cannot reach out to you, they can't talk to you, they can't return phone calls, emails, or text messages until June 15th of your sophomore year. So you can call the University of Denver or the University of Providence, you can call them and leave a voicemail and say, hey, my name's Jeff, I'm really interested in your school. Here's my number, call me back. Well, they cannot call you back until June 15th of your sophomore year. It's not because they're not interested in you, it's because the NCAA rules. All right, that's something you guys need to know. So if you send them an email, they can read it, they can't respond. So don't interpret that as a lack of interest, it's simply them following the rules. And there are a lot of NCAA rules which are at times a little odd, but they're there. So what we're trying to say, essentially, is that we just want you to be patient. All right, we want you to keep all options open as you go forward here. If you're drafted at the age of 14, that's tremendous. You don't need to sign that contract right away, because in reality, you can't play till you're 16. So take the time, explore other options, go look at a college campus, whether it be in New England or in the Midwest or Denver or wherever it is. Explore your options, because options, really, guys, you want to have as many options as possible in life. You want to leave the door open for whatever way it is that you want to go. And then lastly, we're just going to talk about the family advisors. This is kind of a phenomenon that's gotten out of control. Most kids have a family advisor now at the age of 15, 16, and you don't really need a family advisor. They don't do much for you unless you're going to be drafted in the NHL. Okay? With that being said, you can't sign with an agent, right? So a family advisor, really all they can do is negotiate a contract for you in the NHL, so why would you have one if you don't need one? Okay? If you are going to be drafted, because they'll help you with the interview process, they'll maybe help you get ready for the weight testing, they'll talk to NHL teams for you, and that's where they come into play. But prior to that, they really don't help you in the college process, all right? And if anything, you're really kind of walking a fine line. But if you do decide that you want a family advisor, this is where I really urge you to contact our office, because the gentleman I work with that I told you about earlier, Paul Kelly, when he worked at the NHLPA, his job was to regulate and to watch these guys. He knows all of them on a first name basis. All right, he knows what kind of people they are, and he can let you know, hey, this guy's got your son's best interest at heart, or hey, this guy maybe is just trying to make a quick buck. Okay? There's a lot of ins and outs with the family advisors, and please, if I can say anything about Paul Kelly, is that he's probably the most approachable man in the world. Just pick up the phone, give him a call, and he'd be more than happy if he came in with a list of four or five agents, family advisors you've been talking with. He'll tell you about each one very candidly. He's not going to blackball anybody. He'll just tell you, what their track record looks like. And here's our contact information. We've got a website. It's collegehockeyinc.com. There's our phone. You can pick it up. There's just three of us that work there. One of us will answer the phone, and then we recently also added a Facebook page where we're constantly updating it with pictures of the facilities of college hockey, so you can see the locker rooms, the weight rooms, as well as any announcements that need to be made. So that's us in a nutshell. And at this point, I'm going to invite the college coaches to come down and introduce themselves. Would anybody like to volunteer to start? So they're all going to just talk about themselves for a quick minute, maybe. Their hockey background, what school they're from, and then after that we can open it up. You guys can ask any questions at all.
Ladies and gentlemen, my name is George Wozdecki. I'm the hockey coach at the University of Denver, and I was out here about a month ago up in Valencia, California. I'm sure some of you were up there at the College Hockey Forum, but it's great to see and great to be here to be able to watch the top talent in our country at the different age levels. I say our country because I'm an adopted citizen. I'm from Thunder Bay, Ontario. I'm still a Canadian citizen. I do have my resident alien card, so I can work legally in the United States. I have coached Division I hockey and Division III hockey for over 32 years now. And as I said before, it's really amazing to see the young men and the young ladies come coming out of the state of California, moving on to play college hockey for the National Hockey League. Many years ago, I was in the same position that some of you are in, having to make a decision between playing junior A hockey in the Ontario Hockey League or moving on to play college hockey. And fortunate for me, my father was valued in education much more so than I did at that time. I was going to play for the Detroit Red Wings, and no one else was going to get in my way. And unfortunately, my father decided, okay, you're going to get an education as you play hockey. So I'm a graduate of the University of Wisconsin, and I do have my degree. I have my master's degree, as Jeff said a few minutes ago, it is four great years of life of learning to be a better hockey player, getting your degree, and being able to develop a more mature attitude towards life with other people, male and female, who have similar interests and similar needs. So thank you for your time. And our next coach is Gibby.
Thanks, Jared. My name is Mike Gibbons, and I'm just the assistant coach, as they call me at St. Cloud State. We're a 17,000 student school in the WCHA. And, great job, Jeff, on the presentation here, telling everyone about college hockey. One slide that I might disagree with a little bit is it talks about college hockey is not for everyone. And I don't get this whole California thing. I'm from the Midwest. I don't get it. I don't get why, guys from the land of opportunity out here, they're sending their guys to play major junior, where it's kind of the American way to send your kids to college. So I don't get it. I think it's going to change. I think it's going to. I really do. And a lot of more and more California guys are going to start playing college hockey. I know we're going to recruit a lot of California guys. You asked a question here. Who's been a starting quarterback at USC the last few years? Name some starting quarterbacks in Canada here. Name some. Who you have?
Nobody.
USC fans here at all? Starting quarterbacks. John David Booty's right. Sanchez, is that right? But you guys, California guys, you don't have college hockey, but we have at our school Brian Lash, who is from California, and he's the all-time leading scorer at our school. And I can tell you, he's like the starting quarterback in St. Cloud, and he's like the starting quarterback for UCLA, and he's a kind of hero for town, and he loves. Love college hockey, he's moved on to pro hockey. So, my advice to all you guys, there is a place to play college hockey somewhere, whether it's Division One. I play Division Two at Bemidji State, they're not Division One. There's great club hockey teams. I think everyone go to college.
Everybody, my name is Brett Larson. I'm assistant hockey coach at the University of Minnesota Duluth. It's been great watching you guys out here this week. I've been with the hockey talent out here for a while. I was lucky enough to spend 4 years of my life playing some San Diego Gulls back when you used to have a professional team and play a little bit in the Long Beach Ice Dogs as well. So it's mostly seeing how good you guys are. It's been fun watching it. It's been fun watching how much you guys love the game. And that's a big part of it for me, guys, is the thing I want to share is guys like yourself, like me, that love the game of hockey and want to play it as long as they can. And I went kicking the stream out the ice at the end of my career. I played for 11 years after college. A lot of people played in Europe and played in the minor leagues. I was drafted by Detroit out of high school, and I still think they lost my phone number. I'm still waiting for the call. haven't heard from them. Still staying in shape. But I never made it there, obviously. I was one of the 95% of the guys that didn't. But I'll tell you what, it was great playing in Europe. It was great playing here in San Diego and in Long Beach, knowing that I had a degree. Gave me a lot of freedom. Played with a lot of guys who were really good friends of mine at 32, 33 years old that didn't go the college route. Now they're finishing their minor league career and they've got maybe a kid or two and a wife and responsibilities. It's pretty hard to go back to college for 4 years. I was very grateful that I had that degree. It meant a lot to me and gave me a lot of freedom. Guys, the big thing I want to press on you is keep your options open. Make sure that you know how not to lose your eligibility. Make sure you keep that freedom of those options until you know for sure what you want to do and make good educated decisions. But I'm here to tell you, College experience was great for me. The opportunity to play hockey in Europe and here in California, and knowing that I had that degree once hockey was over, gave me a lot of freedom and allowed me to enjoy the game more. So thank you guys. Have a good rest of the weekend.
Well, hello everybody. My name is Tim Army. I'm the head hockey coach at Providence College. Was here with the Ducks from 93 to 97. I came out with Ron Wilson's staff, then they were called the Mighty Ducks of Anaheim. It's interesting to see players born playing here in 1994, 95, before they came out here. So it's amazing to see how quickly young people can grow and develop into terrific hockey players. I played at Providence College. I graduated in 1985, played the two Final Fours, called the Final Four, then got the Frozen Four, lost the National Finals in 1985 to Adam Oakes and RPI. 6 years as an assistant coach at Providence College before Ron Wilson hired me to be on the staff here in Anaheim. Came out here from 93 to 97. It was a terrific run out here. Lost to the Red Wings in 97 after beating Phoenix in the first round of playoffs. Lost to the Red Wings in the second round. Red Wings went on to win the Stanley Cup that year. Moved with Ron to Washington for 5 years. I was with Ron in Washington as a development assistant for the Capitals. I was 3 years with the Portland Pirates of the American Hockey League. I was the head coach in Portland, which was Washington's primary affiliate. And then I went back to Providence College 5 years ago as the head coach. So it's been a terrific run for me. College hockey really has been a springboard for me as a player. I played a year in the American League. I played over in Europe before I became a coach. But everything I've done professionally has really been the result of my experience playing college hockey. So again, I mirror what the other guys have said in the presentation. There's a lot of tremendous hockey players in this room and developing out here on the West Coast. It's keep all your options open. You'll find what is a great path for you. College hockey is a tremendous path for you. And all I can say, it's been a real pleasure to watch everyone playing this weekend. I've been out here for 3 years now. The ability to move the puck, the spacing, the vision, it's been tremendous. It's been a great weekend thus far. Well done by all the players. Continue strong this afternoon and tomorrow morning. It's been a real pleasure for all of us to be able to come out and watch. At Providence right now, we have one player from Walnut, California, Kyle McKinnon. His plans will be a senior this year. Kyle, not only one of our leading scorer last year, he's also a 3-8 student. So he's been a wonderful addition to our program. Hopefully in time, we have a few more Californians out at Providence College. I'd like to thank Newell Brown and the Ducks for putting this together. It's a great opportunity for all of us to come out, address you people, be able to watch the kids play. As I said, it's been a pleasure watching this weekend. Continue strong, have a great rest of the weekend, and good luck as you pursue your hockey careers. And I'd like to open up any questions, I guess, at this time. So thank you very much.
Thanks for coming out. I know we have some fathers here, so thanks for coming out Father's Day weekend. These guys have a lot of commitments, and their schedules are busy. They've got a lot of camps that they could go to. They decided to go out to California to watch California hockey players and the talking people today, so we appreciate their time for that. So thanks, guys. We have a PD here today as well. David McNabb, the vice president of our the Anaheim Ducks this year. And not many people know this, I don't think, but Dave McNabb grew up in San Diego, played all of his horrible years of hockey in the San Diego area in California. Ended up being George Wozniacki's roommate, goaltender at the University of Wisconsin. So Dave, thanks for coming out today. Where are you? There you are. You'll have no problem finding him. If you have a question for him, he's the biggest guy in the building, so just look out for him, and he'll be happy to talk to you as well. Last but not least, we have here a speaker, Brett Penning, who has written a very interesting book. I went through this morning, and he's here to talk about it a little bit. Brett is one of the first members of the National Team Development Program in Ann Arbor when they first started. A very good hockey player, had a full-ride scholarship to Notre Dame. His father is now the Vice President and Director of Player Personnel for the Vancouver Canucks. So he's got a great background in hockey, and just want to spend a couple of minutes and talk to you about some of the things he's written about. Brett?
Thanks, Father. I wanted to come today kind of to speak to you guys, and I know a lot of you, I've met a lot of you guys, and worked with a lot of you guys, but
Neil did a good job introducing me. I grew up playing hockey. My dad's assistant GM of the Canucks right now, and he grew up, he won four Stanley Cups, so I kind of grew up in the business and got a bird's eye view of everything that was going on. But I went up to Canada, played junior B hockey there, played in the inaugural team. And when I was in Notre Dame, I was fortunate enough to also play on the World Junior team. And then my junior year, I got hurt. And like Jeff was saying, it was just kind of a freak thing out of nowhere. I got hit, I went down, and that was the end of my hockey career. So as much as you don't like to think that happens, it does happen. So I kind of got out of the game for a little bit, and you know, it just kind of hurt going and watching your friends play. But I eventually realized that I absolutely love hockey, and I love being around the people involved with hockey. So that's what I did. I wrote a book, Seven Pre-Game Habits of Pro Hockey Players, and it's about the 24 hours leading up to the game. You guys are all super talented. I had a great time being behind the bench and watching you guys play. It's unbelievable the talent that's out here. And you know what, camps like this are also going on in Vancouver. Camps like this are going on in New York. I was at one in Nashville last weekend, Russia, Czech Republic. So as good as the talent is out here, there's also great talent in other places too, guys. So when you get to the highest levels of hockey, you have to separate yourself through, I mean, a lot of guys, you can't, Crosby can, you know, physically separate himself, but you have to do it in other ways. And part of the book is visualization, routines, nutrition, just seven different things that you can really use to separate yourself. But just real quickly, what I wanted to say, guys, is to take a left turn here. When I was doing some research for this talk, I came across, I'm going to the NHL draft next week. So I started to look at from 1990 to 2000. So giving the guys enough time to mature, I started to look at what players actually made it, what percentage of players are playing in the NHL. And it was pretty amazing to me. Less than 50% of players drafted from 1990 to 2000, the first round, actually played for over 3 years. And if you go from the third round on, it's 10%. And then on the other hand, you have guys like Mark St. Louis, you have guys like Zetterberg drafted in the higher rounds, guys like Adam Olofstad, have really been NHL All-Stars and really made a difference. So why is it that guys that are drafted in the first round, scouts that are paid millions of dollars to pick out and evaluate talent, why is it that they're not making it, whereas other players that are maybe, were overlooked are making it? And as Jeff said, a lot of it is maturity issues, a lot of it is, drafting at such a young age, injuries. But the main thing that I saw was work ethic. And just from my experience, I always thought I was a hard worker. That was my role. I was kind of a grinder, stuff like that. But if you really look at it, the guys who make it have almost an obsessive, compulsive. They work every day. They work and strive to get better. And those are the guys that really make it. I just want to impress upon you guys. When I was playing, I didn't really realize that. I knew that the guys were playing were hard workers. But if you guys can get that at this young age, you guys are one step up on the competition. So, I read this book and actually it came up in my face and really made me see this so clearly. And what it is, guys, if you want to make the distinction, okay, there's this book called The War of Art by Stephen Pressfield, and it talks about how whatever you do, you're dreaming big, okay? All you guys all love to play hockey. That is your dream, to be in the NHL. It was my dream too, okay? It talks about artists in the book. You dream of painting a great picture, or dream about producing great music, or dream about producing, the next great American novel. These are huge, huge dreams, guys, and it's awesome. I love it. But, obviously when you're going to achieve these dreams, it's a long road. There's obstacles here, there's obstacles there, there's injuries, there's stuff that you have to get over and stuff that you have to go through, so it's not easy. If it was easy, everyone would do it. It wouldn't be a great dream. So the biggest thing, guys, when you guys are approaching and you guys are looking at your dream, it's all about separating yourself with, the distinction of pro versus amateur, right, guys? So if you're a pro, you approach it as a pro, okay? If you're an amateur, it's just something that you do. And you guys are not getting paid, but believe me, with all the money that your parents have spent, all the hours that you guys have put into it, you guys are essentially pros, okay? No one that just liked hockey would do the stuff that you guys do, okay? So you're not amateurs. So when I make this distinction, you get up in the morning, I used to work out at 6 in the morning, okay? I hated it, and a lot of times I wouldn't do it. So if you're a pro, you get up at 6 in the morning, you see that it's raining outside, you realize that, hey, you know what? It's raining outside, I have to put on my jacket, I have to put on my shoes, and I have to do that run anyways. Amateurs will get up and see that it's raining outside and go, oh, I can hit the snooze button, I can wait till 8, maybe it won't be raining then, or maybe it won't be raining at 10. And they keep pushing it off and listening to a little voice inside their head that's making up excuses. Pros will do it. Pros show up every single day, guys. The next one, you guys go out, you guys beat a team 8-0. So you go into the game, you're thinking, hey, you know, we can just walk through this team. We beat them 8-0 before. You're thinking about what you're going to eat after the game. You're thinking about what movies on the bus. Then before you know it, 2 periods in, you guys are down by 3 goals. You know, you're playing down that team's level. Pros will show up every single game, and they'll approach every single game as if it's a game 7. It doesn't matter if it's preseason or it's a game 7. They're approaching every single game the same, okay? Amateurs will go, they'll take nights off, okay? And the final one here, you guys might run into this, you definitely will run into this as you get to the higher levels, is that, you know, if you're not making, you know, so like you try out for a team, you look, all your friends made the team, you didn't make the team, or this weekend, you know, you had a bad game, or you know, had some bad experience or something like that on the ice. You can't just go, or you can't quit and just think, oh, you know, I'm no good. A pro will take that, and he will actually use that, and it will create fire in him to actually prove them wrong. Okay, so you're gonna make. I mean, you're not gonna try out and make your first NHL team when you're 18 if you get drafted. Okay, guys, very few people will. So you have to use the negatives that you experience along the road and move forward, okay? Pros know that in order to reach your dream, it's a long haul. Doors are going to open and shut in your face, but you have to keep working, all right, guys? So the biggest thing that I really want to impress upon you guys is that you guys are very serious about hockey, and it's hockey is so competitive now. The work ethic and the time that you put in, every time you're on the ice, strive to be your best, okay? Don't take nights off. Don't take games off. You know, if you do run into obstacles, if you get hurt, work hard to get back to the level you were at and back to a higher level, right, guys? So the talent level here is amazing. And I just think that if you have this and you know that you're going to do it and you know you're working hard, then you're one step above everyone else out there with the same talent, right, guys? So if you guys have any questions, I've kind of had a unique experience of playing in the OHL, playing with the inaugural national development team, also playing with the USHL and the North American League. So I've played in a lot of different leagues and I have a lot of friends. I'm going to be out in the lobby, so if you have any questions, you can always, you know, I definitely don't know it all, but I can definitely talk to you about kind of your road down there. Because I know it is a confusing time, and I was confused about where I was going to play, where I was going to live, where I was going to go to school. So, you know, just... you know, I can shed some light on some of that stuff. So thank you very much for coming out.
Thanks, John Brett. Welcome to our meeting coming up at 3:15. I just wanted to say thanks to everybody for coming out. And all you folks have a lot of hockey things that you can be doing, tournaments and teams and practices and all these things that are going on. And so we're really happy you're able to come for our camp this weekend. We hope you find it very valuable experience for yourself. And by the way, I don't think I introduced myself. George reminded me that I didn't say what my name was. I thought I knew everybody here, but my name's Will Brown, and I help run the camp here. But the VIP, you guys probably got email after email after email from Jeff Caviello. So I want to say a special thanks to you for being on the camp. Great job, guys, for the camp so far. All the awesome work, and we'll see you on the ice at 3:15. Thank you.
Thanks a lot.
Good job, Coach Brown.
Thank you.